Hello, well, this is Blonde-Haired Girl. It's the middle of the night. I'm doing a middle of the night little talk. I'm going to try to get through this without a whole bunch of yawns because I was sleeping really heavy. And I woke up and I'm like, okay, there it is. Got to talk about this. Okay, a whole bunch of my material is about this idea of the quote-unquote law of attraction. This supposed law that the creation of reality is... We have a lot of say that we are actually the creator of our reality. And so I have been practicing this for, you know, when I really knew that this was actually true, I started to work to practice to try to create the best life that I can for myself. It starts with you, right? It's hard to create someone else's reality, I think. So I went into practicing this and I'm trying to figure this out. Like it seems plausible. It seemed like this could actually be the case. And so I'm going to practice this and I'm going to see if I can master this. All right. And so I've talked incessantly about this and to great lengths about the details and everything. Okay. So I wanted to talk about, I had a couple things happen over the holiday break. So I ended up taking a whole lot of time off. I took not necessarily from work, but just the way that it turned out, I was able to be what I call home for an extended period of time, pretty extensive. I mean, it feels like it was a long time, even though I'm on the other side of it now. And it was a weird, like 9-ish days for me. It was just weird. It was busier than I thought it was going to be. I got a whole lot of stuff done. But, you know, you would think that in this time that it would be a cutting, that I had this amount of time, and you would think that I would have more time with which to study my practice of the law of attraction, given the fact that I didn't have, you know, a 40-hour a week job to focus on. I could focus just on that. this is what happened was that I did have more time, and so I was very much in touch with myself and how I was feeling and doing, and I was really having a hard time. I was having a hard time. I was feeling this feeling of God, that I'm having a hard time making a decision. Like, I don't know if I want to stay where I'm at or if I'm not, don't want to stay here. My life feels so much in this holding pattern. It has for years, but like even though I've made some pretty major changes this year, I still feel like I'm in this holding pattern. I'm like this sense of, like, the only way I know how to describe it is discontent. This feeling of discontent, like I'm just not sure what I'm doing. You know, should I abandon everything and move back to where I was? I'm tired of being in this, what I perceive to be this holding pattern. And I seem to just be in this space, you know, where I have not yet arrived at some goal, some destination that I believe that I desire to be at. And frankly, I don't even know if I really truly want that desire. So interesting. I'm reading a book. I had heard about this book on actually social media, and so I decided that I was going to read it, and I was reading it, and this man just like fell in love with this woman, like, and kind of out of nowhere, like he saw her and it was almost like this love at first sight type of thing. And, you know, and then he wished to marry her. He loved her and wanted to marry her, and she was it, and she believed they would be happy. And, you know, spoiler, well, I didn't tell you what the name of the book is, so it's not a spoiler alert. The marriage isn't going so greatly. And as I'm reading this, I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, you know, it's like that thing that you believe is going to be the thing, the holy grail, the pill of contentment. Okay, so back to, I get to my home in where I used to live and still own. I pay all the bills at it. So I guess it's mine. It's my obligation, I guess. even though I really like the place, it's a really cute little place. But anyway, and I find myself with all of this feeling within myself of discontentment, and I'm so uncomfortable with the discontentment, and I am practicing the art of allowing myself to be discontent. Looking at it, seeing it, knowing it's there, and not having this need to change it, even in the moment, like feeling uncomfortable and allowing the uncomfortability, the discontentment, the unhappiness that I'm feeling, to just be with the unhappiness. But then along with that is the knowledge that unhappy things are going to happen then. I mean, to one degree or another, because the more that I'm focused upon the unhappiness, the more unhappy I become. And so things start to happen, you know, and I'm aware of this. If I create my reality, okay, so I create my reality and I am in a state of discontentment, then I will be creating in some ways more of a state of discontentment. So it just seems so, you know, all just so screwy, right? Like, it's like this is just so weird. But I also understand all of the things that I'm doing. I see my behaviors and the things that I'm doing as maladaptive in this process of trying to cover up, push away the discontentment. And so I'm just allowing it to be. This is a practice that several practitioners have taught me about, is being with and enduring the discontentment, the unhappiness, and in some cases, suffering. Okay, so one day of my extended time away, I had two things come that I had thought about. Like right, like within 2 hours, these two people came into my awareness that I had barely thought about. I mean, one of them I had talked about a little bit to my son, and then the other one, I had been thinking about it. I had not seen this person in years. And this person was part of things that went down before the summer of 2018. She was somebody that I had thought was a friend of mine. And I don't necessarily have any ill feelings toward this person, but I did learn that she really wasn't my friend. She's a perfectly nice person, but she's not my friend. We have not hardly spoken. And so it was very strange that I had thought about her and bam, there she was. Okay, so I have these two things happen. And then, so then I know in the back in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I did that. Somehow I did that. Somehow I brought that into my physicality. That thought became an actuality. So this is what gets me tripped up. Is that it didn't really mean that much to me. The thing didn't really mean, let's just talk about her. It didn't really mean much to me whether I saw her or I didn't see her. And in fact, it was probably more to the that I would say to myself that I would actually kind of prefer to not see her. I mean, I wasn't outright rude to her, and I also wasn't overly friendly. Like, and then I didn't even tell my friend that I was walking with that I had seen her or her. You know, which was another practice that I have really been putting into practice. And that is the art of just not talking crap about people. Not talking about the thing that I don't wish to create in my life. I don't want to talk about that. And so I didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about a lot of things that I normally would have, you know, and having this thought in the back of my head, because I have this habit, you know. I think you, my people who really follow me closely, I think you understand what I'm talking about me. That I have this habit of oversharing, of my inner dialogue, this oversharing of my inner dialogue and telling people more than they really need to know about something. And so I have been practicing a couple things. The first thing, not talking crap, just not complaining, not just incessant need for us to just share this thing with three people, you know, ruin three people's day or their mood or whatever. Okay, so not sharing a situation per se, and not oversharing. I have this really bad habit of doing that. Like talking out, thinking out loud, I call it. You know, like people don't need to know what's going on in my head. And just only sharing what I need to share. What, I mean, they really need to know. Being on an actual, only what they need to know basis. So, this is what gets me tripped up. If I can manifest, or if I can have come into an actuality, the thought of this person, the brief sliver of thought of this person before she came, why does it not happen with other things? Like let's just say $1 million. Okay, so if I have a desire for $1 million, this is something that's in the back of my mind about all the time. Maybe I should up the ante to 20 million. Andrew Tate says that all you need is 20 million and then you're set forever. Okay, so $20 million. Then the brief thought of $20 million with quote unquote no resistance, it ought to come in my physicality, right? I mean, all things, all, and I'm just saying this as an argument. But there's a reason why it's not coming into my physicality that, let's just say $1 million for this argument. So it's not coming. And then my belief about it, you know, and so practitioners would say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you have too much resistance, you're not doing this, you're not having the feeling enough, you're not this enough, they're not that enough. And I'm just, if it is a scientific fact, why doesn't it? And the creating of my reality. I'm just saying, I think that it's just interesting, this thought that I am indeed missing some ingredient in it all. Some ingredient in my practice is missing. It was funny. I keep hearing this song by, I think it's Journey. And the lyrics in it says, "Don't stop believing. Hold on to the feeling." It was so weird. Yesterday, there was this child. I was at the airport, and there was this child sitting at the airport singing that song that I had been hearing over the last 10 days a little bit. And I told her, I said, "Wow, that is a really great song you were singing." Don't stop believing. Hold on to the feeling. Here's the thing, is that I happen to know, and I'm going to go back to, that the $1 million isn't really going to change my life that much. We think that it is. We think that something is going to change our life. And that this need, this constant need for things to arrive or not arrive, as if our happiness is dependent upon it. And so I got to working in my discontented time off on just trying to alleviate the level of unhappiness, trying to just lighten up a little bit on the unhappiness, so as to have a little bit more happiness, just in and of itself, the feeling of the happiness. Like, for example, I had gone out with friends over the weekend. One of my favorite bands was playing. I was out with friends and we were dancing, and I was dancing, and I was, those of you who know me know that I really like to dance under certain circumstances. And I was just in the zone. I was in this zone, and I was just feeling, there was this one particular song they were playing, and I was just in the zone, and I was just in the stratosphere. I was just so connected to that. Connected to bliss, connected to joy, connected to contentment, connected to light. There was something in the music, in the instruments. There was a gentleman that was playing the saxophone. And it's that feeling. I don't know that we can necessarily have that absolutely every second of every day to the extent with which I was experiencing it that evening. Because I don't know that we can actually live in that state. Like, for example, David Hawkins, MD, PhD, and he would talk about this, like this state of like orgasm. Like, you wouldn't want to actually live in a state of orgasm, like continuously, because it would just be too much. But that feeling, almost this like need for that feeling. And so the feeling of that thing arriving in our physicality, becoming an actuality in our life, and existing between them. I'm having like these weird epiphanies even as I'm talking about this. But what this podcast is about, what I'm talking about right at this moment, is the weirdness in the practice, the fine tuning and the tweaking it, and the this and like in the contorting it to try to have it be something that I could actually depend on. And this is what I don't understand about this practice as a law. Okay, so when I have a thought about, I'm sitting in a position and I want to stand up and I want to walk across the room, and I have practiced this into that I know the outcome. I know the outcome of what's going to happen if I do this or that or... In this practice, it almost feels like it is so haphazard. And it feels so random as to what would actually come into my physicality and become an actuality in my life. And so the practice of just being in, God, you know, I gotta tell you, all these words just so trip me up, only because I get so tired of the thing that becomes the buzzwords, you know. And I'm gonna say alignment. This is the new buzzword from the quote unquote spiritual community. This term of alignment with our desires, that we come in into an ability to actually commune with it. You have to align it so that you can hear it, so that you can commune with it. And it is us, the only thing that we can actually maneuver or change. And so that being the practice, just the practice of being happy, doing whatever it takes in the moment to be happy. And in this practice, I gotta tell you, like, sometimes I've been called Pollyanna by certain people in my life years ago, and I feel like it's kind of true. Like, I have this general belief that things work out for me, this general belief that everything turns out okay. And so my son and I had gone out to this activity, this New Year's activity, with dancing, and, you know, because I don't have a vehicle at my home anymore, because my vehicle is at where I am now. Okay, so I had to get a lift. So I get a lift, we go out, and I decide that I really need to get home. And I try to get a lift. No lift. I try to get an Uber. No Uber. I try to get a cab. No cab, you know, and it's 11 o'clock at night. The temperature is dipping. It's in the 30s now. I'm wearing boots that are, like, not comfortable at all. And I find myself walking home. Like I said, we're not talking walking 10 miles or something, but it was enough that I was incredibly uncomfortable. I was cold. A lot of it was uphill. and my son keeps asking me, like, Mom, are you okay? And I'm thinking, no, not really, but I mean, I'm alive. My hip's hurting. It's all a mindset. And I keep looking up at the stars. I'm like, oh my God, you can really see the constellations from here. I'm like looking up, and I could see the constellations. The Big Dipper. And I'm looking up, and I'm like, oh my God. And it was quiet. And we got home, and I fell into bed, and I was okay. And then the next morning, and then I'm also worried. I'm like, okay, so tomorrow is the holiday. Tomorrow is New Year's. Am I going to be able to get a lift to the tram to get to the airport? I was worried. I'm like, I couldn't get it. So I'd practiced the night before, and it's, you know, and then I go to thinking all these things about myself. Well, why didn't I think this through better? Like, you know, I didn't think this through very well this time. And maybe I ought not travel on these big holidays. So then we have to call my neighbor. So we get with my neighbor. My neighbor takes me to the tram, to take the tram to the airport, to take the airport to the next city to take that to the tram to supposedly take a bus to drop me off by where I live. Well, there was no bus. No bus? Nope. Sorry, they don't work on New Year's. I guess a major holiday. I didn't know that New Year's was as much of a holiday as Christmas, but whatever. Okay, so how am I going to get home last night? So it drops me off in this downtown area. And I'm really worried for my safety. The tram to get to the bus, the tram drops me off in the city at night. I mean, it's not late in the evening, but it's night and it's cold. And I'm like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? So I figure it out and it all works out. It did work out because I was afraid there may not be lifts because there wasn't any lifts the night before and I might be walking. And so it was so weird for me that it didn't work out because so many times it is just so weirdly worked out. I mean, truly, I feel like I've had so many instances where the miraculous has really come about. The miraculous, and I really believe in that. I feel like in some ways I probably believe more in that than I do in the quote-unquote actual reality. And so I don't have this all together. I mean, clearly, I mean, it's been my practice, and I feel like it has been like a long enough time of me practicing it. And then this is my other self-talk is like, I should be better at this. Why am I not better at this? Because what I hear from people that I actually trust, the people that I trust are people that the proof is in their life. So I listen to people that I trust that the proof is in their life. And I can't remember what my train of thought. I was so busy trying to tell you who I trust. I can't remember what it was exactly that I was trying to tell that they say to do, but I guess I'll improvise because I really can't remember what my point was. That it is the actual joy and happiness, that just seeking the happiness and trying to be in a happy place. And so what did I do over the weekend when in some ways I wasn't able to? I was really in this space of being discontented and not running from that. Not running from the discontentment, looking at it, knowing that it's there, being with it, not seeking to do something to cover it up, just looking at it, being with it, and allowing it to just kind of float away like a cloud, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, allowing it to the emotion to just drift away like a cloud would. And the desire to be more along the process, because we are wherever we are. I mean, I'm practicing this most of the time, consciously, not unconsciously, consciously, and seeing that better things happen when I'm in a better space, as I put it. Better things just happen, like the miraculous, like the thing showing up exactly when you needed it. But I just haven't perfected the art, and I'm excited about, I guess, where I'm at, even though I am excited for where I'm at. Especially when even these small things, like running into that person, when that happened, it just makes me feel so joyful, even for something that I really didn't care about that much. It's just expanding that to the things that I do care about a little bit more. Anyway, I feel like I'm starting to really ramble, so I'm going to go. I have another topic that I'm not going to talk about today that I think I will get into it the next podcast. Anyway, I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.